Greetings, Buckeye fans, and welcome to the latest Ohio State 360 podcast. And this week, we're going to talk Ohio State women's volleyball with head coach Jen Flynn Oldenburg, the fourth-year head coach of the Buckeyes. Her team right on the border of top 25 right now, depending on which week you're looking at the polls. But Jen, you're 3-3 in the Big Ten. And I know you split two last week, including a five-setter at the end, a tough loss to Penn State. But overall, are you happy with what the preseason schedule has done, getting you guys into the meat of this Big Ten schedule?
Yeah, I think happy in terms of our preparation. You know, a little frustrated, as the team is as well, with the results, you know, the win-loss column. But in terms of what we need to do to prepare for a conference like the Big Ten, you know, our schedule needed to be tough. And we certainly – you know, had those challenges in front of us early in the non-conference in order to put us in matches like the one at Penn State. And I feel like we were close. We just, you know, didn't finish that match the way we wanted to. But if we didn't have the non-conference we did in the matches prior, you know, I don't know that that's the result, you know, a 3-2 loss. You know, it might be something different, you know. And so for the rest of the season, we're going to be battle-tested. We're going to be ready for what's coming next.
A big home conference weekend, Illinois Friday at Covelli. You've got Purdue at 1 o'clock tomorrow as we record this, that being for the football halftime show. So Sunday, Purdue is at home. How important are these home games now that you're knee-deep into the league schedule?
Yeah, I feel like every match is important. You know, the ones that we need to take care of, you know, in terms of, you know, RPI and the ones that are quote-unquote below us, you know, we need to take care of business. And we need to beat some of the teams that are above us. And so we have that opportunity this weekend, Illinois on Friday night. You know, they're the ones below us, and Purdue is above us right now. So the match on Sunday is a big one. I think it could set the tone for the rest of the season.
Jen, you had a large senior class depart after last season. So it's kind of a new chapter for your squad. Can you tell us about some of those that have stood out and some of the leaders on this team?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a great opportunity for Emily Londot and Riley Rader just to set their mark as leaders on this team. And they're three-year starters, so now they're in the fourth season starting for us. So it's kind of a natural transition for them. Now it's just a little bit more vocal, you know, role for them. And they've embraced it. And they've done a great job of just, you know, bringing the newcomers along. And we have a lot of new faces. You know, we have seven new faces, five freshmen, two transfers. And, you know, they've all had their mark on the program, which has been really cool to see, you know, as the seniors, you know, move on and graduate, and some went to other programs, some are, you know, in the real world getting jobs. It's the natural course of academics and athletics. And so, you know, it was just that new fresh faces that we have on our roster. And the one that stands out right now is Mia Tuman. You know, she's a setter and you know, doing a good job of filling the role of what we need in that position. And she's competitive and fiery, and people want to play for her, and she's done a great job for us. Another one that stands out is Eloise Brandewey, you know, and she's a hometown hero in a sense. Her dad played basketball back here in the 80s and early 90s. And she's just starting to really make her mark as a middle blocker for us. And it's just cool to see her presence on the court. And, you know, it's what we recruited her for, and she's going to continue to get better and better inside the league.
As a coach, when you turn over a roster kind of like your team has, what are the challenges for welcoming first-year Buckeyes in? Are there challenges, or is it more of a luxury getting them indoctrinated sort of into what's going on, not only with your program, but at the university?
Yeah, I mean, there's always challenges. Every year presents a new challenge. Even if you have the same roster, which we had similar rosters in the last couple of years, every year presents something new, either because you want to hang on to what you just did the year prior, or, you know, something, little tweak changes, and how do you adapt to change? You know, this year we have a lot of new change, and I think it's, you know, we're taking our lumps just with a young squad and a little bit of inexperience there, but in the long run, it's going to pay off, and it's starting to already. Like the growth I've seen with this team, even with losses, they're still working hard. They're still wanting to get better. They're still improving, and our numbers are increasing, and that's going to start, you know, getting us some wins in that column. So I'm excited to see that. And, you know, the sooner that they do get experience, so freshmen getting some court time this year, we have four of them. That's a big deal, because they have that knowledge, that game time knowledge that, they could rely on.
Hey, Buckeye fans, as you know, the Kroger app gives you easy access to weekly sales, personalized coupons, and fuel points as well. Check out the app today and save while you get ready for game day. Kroger, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Jen Flynn Oldenburg is our guest, talking Buckeyes in the Ohio State 360. You played here. You know being a Buckeye as much or more than anybody, certainly a coach that has done it and now has come on to help lead. What are the points that you make sure you realize these youngsters coming into a proud program that a former Buckeye leads now?
Yeah, just what it means to be a Buckeye, you know, how to play in a tough conference and how fortunate we are and how excited it can be and how fun it can be. And I think that's inside the conference, you can certainly get lost on, oh, it's tough, it's a grind, it's brutal. But it's also what we signed up for. And to me, it's exciting to be able to go in every match and go, all right, this is a big one. You know, this opponent's coming after us, or we need to go attack this opponent. And it just prepares you for that next level. And for us, you know, inside of a season, the next level is the NCAA tournament. And there's a lot of success that Big Ten teams have in the postseason because of the battles they face inside the conference. And then for our players that want to go play professionally, you know, like they're tested, they're battle tested, they have good volleyball IQ, and they're going to have good pro careers. And even for those that choose not to take volleyball as their next step, like they've dealt with adversity, you know, they've worked well with teammates and, you know, all those type of things, the intangibles you have going into the real world, like people are looking for in the workforce. And so, you know, everything we're doing is preparing for our athletes for what their next is, regardless of what their next is.
Jenna, help us understand the weekend. Some of these weekends you play Friday, Sunday. I think you went back-to-back the last road weekend, maybe a Friday, Saturday. But when you're traveling with the group, what does a typical travel weekend within the Big Ten look like in terms of, do you guys fly? Do you bus? How does that work?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. You know, we have the opportunity to charter most places inside the Big Ten. You know, there's certainly ones that we'll drive to. You know, Michigan is one we'll drive to. Indiana we'll drive to. But there's not a typical weekend anymore. You know, when I played, it was a Friday, Saturday night, maybe a Friday, Sunday, an occasional Wednesday with their travel partner. You know, as they added Nebraska and the Maryland, Rutgers, and now with the conference expansion next year, like there's no true rotation to get used to, or I don't even comfortable is the right word, but that you just know what's coming, and every week presents something different, you know. So last week we were Friday, Saturday on the road, and so we left Thursday after practice. You know, Fridays spent at Rutgers, we do a little walkthrough, we do some scouting, get some rest, and then we get back to the match and play, you know, play four sets, and then get on a flight and fly to State College. Next day, kind of the same kind of schedule where you get up and scout, practice, rest, and go compete again. And we're home in our beds that night, which is really lucky. This weekend, we're Friday, Sunday, and we're fortunate to be home. So, you know, Friday, fall break, we'll spend in the morning, similar kind of schedule, scout, practice, rest, come back and compete. A day in between, we'll have a short practice. We have a little team to get together that they like to do each year where we have soup. It's like soup day, and then we'll paint pumpkins. And then the next day we compete on a Sunday afternoon against Purdue. So, you know, I think every week presents different challenges just with that schedule. And it's a matter of when do you work on you versus when do you prepare for the next team. And we do a combination of both throughout the week. But again, it's what the Big Ten is, and you got to be flexible and adaptable and gritty. And, you know, I think this team is on the verge of just grabbing those wins that we want so bad.
And Jen, what the Big Ten is changing again with next year, the four teams from the West Coast coming in. Can you speak to their programs, those four new ones coming to the Big Ten? And do you have any earthly idea how that might work for a travel standpoint? I mean, it's still up in the air for a lot of these teams, but we're all interested to figure that out, right?
Yeah, I think that's the big question right now is how do we manage all this? And, you know, for us, we're in a better position just because we're not having to come east every other weekend like they are. So, yeah, there's certainly challenges there. And I don't know what the travel is going to look like. In terms of the volleyball programs, we're adding four strong ones. I mean, historically, they're tournament teams. And so they make us better immediately. And you know, for them, it's going to be a matter of how do they fit in with the Big Ten, you know, with that schedule and the grind of it. You know, I think that's going to be a little bit new to them. And, you know, they're used to scouting other teams in the Pac-12, or formerly the Pac-12. Now they have to learn all new. Whereas, you know, I think we have the advantage of we've seen these teams. We know the rosters. We know the recruits. We know a little bit more. And so the first year for them is probably going to be a little bit weird, but they also are very skilled and they have good staffs and, you know, they're going to be prepped. And so the volleyball elevates quite a bit. The schedule spreads out quite a bit more. You know, I think for us, it's going to be everybody plays everybody once, and then there's going to be three teams you play twice. And I think that's what we'll do for the first 2 years. Now, don't hold me to it. Like, right. I'm not in charge of that, but that's what we look like. We don't do a tournament at the end. We won't do a conference tournament. Like other sports do. We like it more true to everybody plays everyone. But that may change. I mean, it may change even before that schedule is released, you know, for next year, or in 2 years, we might add a conference tournament. I'm not sure yet, but you know, at the end of the day, we're going to do what's best for volleyball inside of our conference, because it's going to be very competitive, and we want, you know, our goal is to have a team from the Big Ten win the national title every year. And so that's, we got to set aside any personal agendas or, you know, personal feelings when we're pushing for our conference to remain the best.
Jen Flynn Oldenburg, the Ohio State women's volleyball coach, is our guest on Ohio State 360. She led the Buckeyes to their first regional final appearance last year since 2004. The league is incredibly deep. I mean, it seems like at any point you're playing at least one highly ranked team per weekend. What makes the conference, the competition, the postseason runs by some of these teams, what makes it stand out? Because, as you said, you're adding four strong programs to what already is probably the best conference in the country.
It's the history. You know, it's the tradition. And, you know, every team inside the conference can beat each other on a given night. And I think that's exciting. It's exciting for the teams that are trying to build their programs or rebuild them and, you know, make a push to be in the middle tier. And then the middle tier is trying to make a push into the top tier. And it's just, it gets you ready, you know, and a lot of our players at conference wide, but, you know, inside of our program have goals of playing pro and national team and Olympic teams. And in order to do that, like, you got to play and compete against the best day to day. And so if you have that in your gym, it's a bonus. If you're doing it in matches, you know, you're going to see that in the Big Ten. And the last Olympic roster, who, you know, the first ever to win a gold medal, the majority of them are playing in the Big Ten. They're Big Ten athletes. And so, you know, that's a big draw. And so, you know, we use that to our advantage and, you know, continue to have a great coaching staff around me that has that level of knowledge. And, you know, we're going to recruit players that want that more.
Tell me about your staff, if you don't mind, Jen.
Sure. Assistant Brian Wright, he's been with me from the beginning. So we're 4 years together. He came from TCU, and before that, he was at Texas for a long time. He's on the analytical side of things, which I need. You know, that's not certainly my strength, but, you know, he's talking about numbers and stats, and he's a really good teacher. Another assistant for me is Nicole Fawcett. She was a four-time All-American at Penn State, two-time national champion, 12 years playing pro, you know, just understands how to play and compete at a high level and does a great job teaching and relating to the players. And then we just hired over the summer, they changed the volunteer assistant role and made it a full-time position. And I was able to hire on Michelle Bartackley. She was part of that Olympic team that won the gold medal. I coached her at Illinois during her career when I was an assistant there. She's one of my best friends, but I also got to bring her on staff, and now she's a Buckeye and teaching our players, you know, again, how to compete and train and be at a high level in order to have success. And so I feel like I have one of the best teaching staffs in the country. We have a great time together. We have fun, you know, like, and we want to have a love for the game and teach our players how to do that and still compete at a high level. But I'm really fortunate with the people around me. And then we also have one of the best directors of ops in the business, Caitlin and Santa. Yeah. And she manages our world. And so, you know, we really couldn't do it without all of them.
Jim, we talk about analytics. You mentioned it. And you mentioned we're hearing it all about it in baseball as that sport continues to grow. And with the evolution and the growth of your sport, is it similar to the analytics, simply a numerical game with a lot of research and different methods there?
You know, I think you can certainly go down that path. We don't. You know, I think it's a combination. You know, numbers are important, but I also feel like there's opportunities to skew them in whatever direction you want, good or bad. Mm-hmm. You know, so we use those numbers to help guide decisions, but not make all of them. So it's an important piece, but it's not the only piece. You know, the other piece for us is just the people and, you know, how do people respond in certain situations, regardless of numbers. You know, there might be times where even an outside hitter on the court, she's not hitting a high percentage, but she passes well. She, you know, can set an out of system ball. She serves well, and she'll stay on the court because she's just steady for us, even if our offensive numbers, you know, aren't helping us in a sense. And so, you know, I think it's a balance of the two. You know, what is the production that we're seeing versus the numbers that we're also seeing? So it's just balancing it out.
Hey, Buckeye fans, whether you're stocking up for your tailgate party or just inviting a few friends over to watch the game, the Kroger app is an easy way to get all the great food and drinks for game day. Kroger, fresh for everyone. We'll have a few more minutes here with Jen Flynn Oldenburg, the Buckeye women's volleyball head coach. What did the run last year to the regional final, in terms of your head coaching career and your time here, has that helped you? Has it taught you something? Just take me through that experience and maybe what you've grown from that.
Yeah. I mean, I think anytime you advance further than you have in the past, it, you learn some lessons. You learn what to do and what not to do. And, you know, if you're back in that situation again, like I think there's points back in that match against Texas in the regional final that I'd like to have back and maybe make some changes or say something a little bit different in order to move to that next point. You know, I think the breakthrough from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight, it's a tough one to make. And it was really cool for our program to do that and for the team last year to have that success and show that what we're capable of. And then to break through to the Final Four is another step that just takes a little bit more. And so we're in that situation again. You know, I think we're even more prepared and ready to make that jump. So, that was an exciting year and historic and, you know, something that hasn't been done since 2004. I mean, that's a long time. Yeah. And for our program to make that turnaround, you know, in three seasons, it's a testament to, you know, my staff, but really the players that were putting in the work every single day.
Jen, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'll let you talk about it if you care. It just so much has happened in the last 5 years with eligibility, with number of years participation, with the portal, with NIL. What is the landscape for your sport right now, or more specifically, if you want, at Ohio State with the way that these things have gone and will continue to go?
Yeah, you know, I think the combination of NIL and transfer portal happening around the same time as COVID really just changed the whole dynamic. I mean, it was like the perfect storm, if you will, of craziness. And so, you know, how every program has managed it has been a little bit different. And, you know, my choice was to thank those that did so much for us and graduate. A lot of them graduated with 2 degrees, you know, undergrad and master's.
Great.
And, you know, have a pro career ahead of them. They just weren't ready to be done with college, but I also had a great incoming class that we chose to, you know, honor our scholarships and give them that money in order to continue to build on what we just did. And so, you know, right or wrong, I don't think there is a right or wrong. It was just a choice that we made. But it's in terms of the landscape of volleyball. I mean, the fifth year eligibility, the transfer portal, NIL, I mean, it's just, it's a lot to consider when you're building rosters. And you know, I'm one that wants to continue to build with the players that want to be here from the get-go, you know, and the transfer portal, I say it's a necessary evil. I think there's times where you certainly need it. You know, a player's not happy or it isn't the fit that they thought it was going to be and they transfer out, like you're not just going to be down players. Like you want to find some replacements that are going to help your program. But, you know, I'm a little bit picky with who I'm bringing in. You know, I'm not just trying to scoop up any kind of talent from the portal. They also have to fit our program. And and our culture and what we're doing here on a daily basis, or else you're just bringing in somebody and they could kind of implode the program, and you don't want that. And so, you know, we do our research, we do our diligence, and want to make sure that we have players that want to be Buckeyes for life, and that's a big deal to me. So, yeah, I mean, I think how you manage it is your own business inside of each program, and for us, it's we want to continue to build on the success we've had with great people and great teammates and good athletes.
And Jim, one of the ways it appears you tried to manage it was with this team culture aspect and helping that become more cohesive was your Greece and Italy international trip this past June. Can you explain more about that and maybe some of the highlights of that trip?
Yeah. I mean, it was perfect timing. I mean, I'm glad it worked out the way it did, you know, 4 years prior, you know, before I got here, that whole class that graduated last year, you know, they had the opportunity to do it. And then 4 years later, it's a new group of athletes, and thank goodness we have seven new faces. And so in order to get them acclimated, you know, the normal plan is they come in June as freshmen, they take classes, they get to know each other, and it's, you know, everything is on their own because we don't have any required hours in the summer. So I, you know, I get to see them, but I'm not coaching them. I'm not interacting with them on a daily basis. To get 10 days of training before you go, you know, overseas on a trip, that's huge. You know, that's why bowl games are so important to football, is that you get that extra training and that time together. And, you know, those 10 days, you know, I got to see what our team, you know, what our makeup was before August, when we normally get together and you have 2 weeks to figure out who you are and then go compete. So, you know, I feel like that training period was really good. You know, the freshmen, the two transfers get acclimated in our system a little bit quicker. You know, they learn the language that we're speaking on a daily basis inside in the gym. And then you get to take a group overseas, Greece and Italy, like what amazing countries, and be immersed in their culture and, you know, get to see some of our players uncomfortable trying new foods and kind of going off on their own, on little excursions. Like, it's so cool. And to see our team interact and kind of build those new relationships and friendships.
Yeah.
It's big, because I think there's a lot of teams that, you know, there's little cliques that form, or you're comfortable around one player versus other players. And I feel like every time I saw the team off on those little excursions, they were in different groups of people. You know, they weren't just sticking to the same ones they normally, like their roommates who they are with all the time. Like they're just mixing it up. And it was an organic situation that, you know, I was happy to see that. And, you know, I think that's why this group is really close. And, you know, again, going back to like our win-loss record, like, yeah, we're frustrated and we're a little bit disappointed in those losses, but we're not losing hope because we know what we're capable of doing, and they're bonded and they're going to fight hard together, you know, for the rest of the season.
That trip must have been a great experience. I'll leave you with this, Jen. Gene Smith will retire next summer. He means what to you and your program and this university?
Well, I mean, he means I'm going to tear up a little bit.
Sorry.
Means a lot. You know, you're good.
Like, I've asked every coach this to end it, so we'll leave it with you to end it.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible leader. I feel like him and Jeannie Nolan, like, took a chance on me being never been a head coach before and brought me into my alma mater. I mean, he's a big deal, and he's really good with people, and he's going to be missed. And when I saw him after he announced it, I gave him a big hug and I said, I love this and I hate this. And he just laughed. And I said, I love it for you and Sheila and your family and everything that means, but I hate it for us as Buckeyes, because like you have made such an impact on every single person in this department. I mean, the fact that he knows every student athlete's name, and not that, like, he knows something about them. Like, he's so good with people, and he's going to be missed. I mean, yep. Whoever bring in, I'm sure will be great, and I'm excited to work with them and, you know, all the things, but
all that, yeah.
You know, Gene Smith is one special person. He is a Buckeye for life. I know he didn't graduate from here, but he's a Buckeye for life. And I'm fortunate for the time that I've had with him. I wish I had a little bit more, but I wish him and Sheila the best. And just very grateful.
One of our mantras around here, and we've heard it from a number of folks, but you win with people. And we appreciate your thoughts, your sentiments. We're winning with you, and we wish you the best of luck as the volleyball season continues for your women.
Thank you so much.